everyone, and welcome to this podcast. We're talking about women's rights in the new normal. My name is Jerry Wagasha. I'm a partner director in the Nairobi office, and I'm a part of the employment department. I'm here with my team, and they'll introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Rizichi Kasharondego. I'm an associate in the employment department in the Nairobi office.
Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Howie-Ayer. I am a candidate attorney or trainee advocate in the corporate and commercial department.
Yeah, so the perfect women's team to be discussing women's issues in this day and age, and especially in terms of employment. So we have some statistics that Howie has kindly provided us with. In 2020, McKinsey did a global study and found that 2 million women, particularly mothers with young children, considered taking less demanding jobs or leaving the workforce. We know that women are 1.8 times more likely to, is it work from home?
Yes, so they're 1.8 more times likely to choose to take a less demanding job because of the pandemic or consider leaving the workplace altogether. Okay.
So all of these issues we know, and what are the reasons for this?
So generally, women have cited that there's an additional caregiving responsibility that they have on their burden on them in addition to working their daily jobs. They also worry that their performance is being negatively judged because of their caregiving responsibilities, and they feel like they need to be available to work at all hours despite their caregiving responsibilities at home.
Okay, so I mean, we are women, we are in the workplace, and we understand these issues very well. I wanted to go into case law, Howie. Tell us what we have found out, how are women facing and tackling these issues in the courts?
Yeah, so very recently, the Employment and Labor Relations Court in the MW versus AN case made a very interesting decision where it was a case to do with, it was a divorce case and it had to do with properties, but the judge made a very interesting judgment about women in the workplace and stay-at-home mothers as well. And the judge made a statement that mothering, housekeeping, and taking care of a family ought to be given more value, especially where it's undertaken alongside formal employment. So the judge said that it's no longer a tenable argument to say that a working mother or a stay-at-home mother does not work just because they're undertaking caregiving responsibilities. And importantly, the judge said that this type of work ought to be considered formal employment in its own right. Mm. So we're seeing shifts in that manner, whereby even the courts are recognizing that working mothers and caregiving responsibilities should be considered employment.
Mm. And work is taking different forms. I mean, this is a huge decision for the Kenya labor movement and for women's labor in general. What do employers need to do now as a result of this case?
So employers now need to take into consideration their policies. I mean, we all have the traditional set policies that applies to both men and women in the workplace. However, now we're seeing a shift in employers now taking specific consideration to women. So for instance, maternity leave. Before, we would only see longer maternity leave periods in the Western world, so Europe or UK, and in the more advanced companies such as Google. However, now we're seeing a shift where more local companies are giving longer maternity periods, for example, 6 months, or after the legal requirement of 3 months, they give women half working days so that they can be able to go home and manage their caregiving responsibilities and work from home. So there has been a general shift in policies, and generally now we advise employers to take a second look as to how they can incorporate women's rights in their policies.
Okay, and there's also the employment bill, which is also bringing adoptive leave for parents who are adopting, which is a very huge consideration.
Yes.
For parents who are not able to have their own children. Mm-hmm. Adoptive children should be considered the same as children given birth to. We're also looking at a cultural shift, and I know how we have another case to discuss with us. What is this case telling us about where we're going?
So another recent decision was the Yasmin Josephine Mokaya case. And in this decision, the Employment and Labor Relations Court held that an employer who terminated a female employee on the basis of her pregnancy did so unlawfully and unconstitutionally. And I believe this is a shift because in this case, the employer tried to frame it as a redundancy just to get rid of the employee. And the court made some bold statements about moving away from this and encouraging employers not to make treat female employees any differently than male employees. And so we see this shift because it's no longer tenable for employers to make unjustifiable excuses to get rid of women or not take women into consideration in the employment relationship.
We've had these kind of cases before, but I think reinforcing the point that terminating someone on account of a pregnancy or even attempting to make them redundant because of pregnancy is not going to wash in this day and age. Tell us other things that employers are doing just to protect themselves and what employees should consider when looking to be hired by a company or female employees specifically.
Okay, I'll start off by discussing performance management. So usually companies have a standard policy as to how they measure performance for each employee. So now how this is changing is that employers are looking at agreeing on specific timelines to complete work. This is especially with respect to working from home. It's become harder to monitor employees' performance, ensure that they're actually delivering, ensuring that they're recording the requisite 8 hours or 6 hours a day to, you know, determine if they're performing well. So now employers are looking at reviewing and discussing the employees' work and expected outcomes. They're also discussing with employees how they intend to meet those outcomes. So for example, you need to perform ABC by 2 months or within 3 months. Discussing also monitoring systems that will assess how the employees continue performance. So are you going to set up a weekly call? Are you going to set up team calls? Are you going to be sending an email every day stating that I have completed ABCD?
That's important, because if you judge someone unfairly based on a criteria that is not applicable to them, especially a woman who has children to look after but yes. can perform the work in different functions, then that person is the first person to be made redundant or even terminated for poor performance.
So
looking at that is important. Next?
Also now flexible working hours. So COVID has now promoted working from home. And now in the quote-unquote post-COVID time, since most employees are expected back in the office, we're looking at employers introducing more flexi hours. So it's not the typical 8 to 5, 9 to 5. So you just need to determine, has the employee covered the work? Have they done the work? If that does that mean that they work from 4 to midday? Does that mean that they work from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m.?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. working that way to make sure that whatever it is, the work is delivered as opposed to how it's performed.
Yes.
Let's go back to Howie now. What about disciplinary procedures?
Yeah, so carrying on from what Rizichi has said in terms of what employers can do, I think that there needs to be a rethink about disciplinary hearings and what it is that would constitute, you know, poor performance, or looking at what would amount to misconduct in this new normal. Because as Rizichi said, if we're changing working hours, then our disciplinary hearing and policies have to also take into account those new policies so that it can be fair and it can take women into consideration, because we can no longer have the same standard across the board for men and women, because there are different considerations that need to be taken into place. And yeah.
Thank you for that. Rizichi, why don't you summarize what we've learned today so far?
So we've learned that women rights, the movement, let's say, of women rights has now been magnified and accelerated by the COVID pandemic. There's generally a culture shift in the workplace, and also now our courts and the laws are taking recognition of this.
Taking more recognition of this.
So now it's up to our employers to amend their policies and their processes so as to take into consideration women's rights and also to improve their economic ability.
Okay, I think that's perfect. Thank you so much, Rizichi. Thanks, Howie. It's been really great talking to you guys. For everyone listening out there, if you want any further information from us, we're happy to advise, and all our email addresses will be available online.